Good, nice to see you. The voice of God is in the room. No, the voice of God. We should just have you read the agenda today, although Carla's voice is nice too. All right. Good morning, everyone. Today is Wednesday, August 24th, 2011. It is 9:30 a.m. The city council will come to order. How are you, Carla?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. You enjoying the humidity?
Love it. My hair.
Can you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. We'll proceed. Beginning with communications, can you please read the title for item number 891?
Request of Michael David Krupp to address council regarding the position of mayor of the city of Portland.
Mr. Krupp? Hi, welcome. Welcome back.
You know, I don't actually like to show up, but I love to sign up.
Oh, do you? Okay.
It works for me. When do I begin?
Please begin.
Thank you. For over 600 days, I've been rehearsing one role on Broadway and 7th. In response to recent events, I have written a one-act play. I call it An Act of God, written in memory of Bo Widerberg and his last film, All That's Fair. The players, you play yourselves, the set, as it is, the time, 9:30. 7 years ago, I married the city of Portland, symbolized by Finney Act. First, I asked a mother who could speak as Portlandia for her daughter. She said I could, so I did. It took place at Voodoo Donuts and was performed by a licensed voodoo priest. Recently, it began to dawn on me that all the people are her children, and therefore mine by marriage. In fact, I'm the pharaoh to my queen, merely maintaining peace for her that she need not bother herself. On behalf of my 35-foot trident-bearing mother-in-law, my wife has asked me to come here and serve you with a 30-day vacate the premises order. You are so served. Think of it as the patriarchy, a game of musical chairs, has ended its music and left you all without chairs. Thankfully, has the sense to run from the IRS, and the mayor's a reasonable man. Now you three remaining members must go or face the music. There can be no peace in a patriarchy, the end of the patriarchy, the beginning of the matriarchy. We are currently experiencing on a planetary scale the changing of the pole, so powerful it changes the orientation of rock. It is perhaps also a magnetic event, but more so it is a time we remember that we are a family and we all share the same great mother. All we see, hear, smell, taste, and most importantly, how we feel, is her. Everything comes from her. Without her to stand on, there are no heavens. She's the dancers, the dance, and the dance hall. Monsieur Sarkozy, c'est vraiment la nuit de l'homme. Sacré bleu. With this I found the blue party, a mimocracy called Mothers for Mothers Forever. Its logo is a huge attacking blue tiger with a fierce Amazon woman riding its back, wielding a rolling pin. This will dwarf the elephant we'd like to forget about. The jackass won't bray. Once and for all, mother's home. Welcome to the mimocracy, where everyone eats.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for letting me do that.
You betcha. Can you please read the title to Communications 892?
Request of Bill Dees to address council regarding cell tower in Alameda neighborhood.
Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Can I give you some what I'm going to say?
So that Carla will distribute it so you can focus on the remarks.
And a couple of pictures of we have a couple of pictures there of the proposed installation. Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, thank you very much for letting me address you on the issue of our neighborhood's concern about a proposed cell tower installation at Northeast 31st and Prescott in Alameda. We are concerned that since we are in a priority 4 neighborhood, which should, according to rules of the City of Portland, be the absolute last resort for a cell tower location, that T-Mobile has forced its way in without notice, without a hearing, uninvited, and without a showing a compelling need to build at this last resort location when there are other higher priority locations available to it in the area. Concern for neighborhood livability was the primary reason these priority rules were put in place, and we commend the city for this action. Cell providers know that new installations should follow these rules and that they should be compelled to seek priority 1, 2, or 3 locations before they even consider priority 4, a neighborhood. Our neighbors and I chose this Alameda neighborhood deliberately because of its livability, the result of planning and foresight. We do not have junkyards or commercial establishments near our homes. Instead, ours is a neighborhood in which we take pride in the condition of our homes and work hard to keep them in good condition. Because of the character of our neighborhood, even in these recessionary times, the values of our homes have remained relatively stable. We are very concerned that an installation at this location will lower our property values and force some of our neighbors with vulnerable children to move away. As real estate agents will tell you, many of their customers won't look or buy in a neighborhood where there is a cell tower because of parental concerns that these installations might be harmful to their children. For this reason, jurisdictions are placing restrictions on locating these towers near homes or schools. Hempstead, Long Island, won't allow an installation within 1,500 feet of a home or a school unless the cell company has a truly compelling reason to put one there. None of us denies the need for cell towers to support our cell phone usage. Many of us drive cars, but this does not mean that car companies are free to put a gas station or use car lot or service facility in any neighborhood they choose to. Zoning takes care of this need. We need a true zoning approach to our cellular tower needs. Keep them out of our neighborhoods except as a last resort. Force companies to go to a higher priority zone before they even consider a priority 4 installation, and don't permit any priority 4 installation to happen without the support of the neighborhood involved. Portland is a special place known as the city that works. May it continue to work for its citizens and its neighborhoods. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
If I might just make a comment, when I had the privilege of being in charge of the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management, we worked on the public notification process and on the priority street classifications, and we did look into whether we could use zoning as a tool for these installations, and much to my chagrin was informed by the city attorney that that is not an option in the public right-of-way. The city of Portland's the zoning code doesn't cover the right-of-way, and so we settled on this approach, and in fact, part of the approach relies on exactly what you've just done in being advocates for your neighborhood and making sure that the process is followed correctly, as I know you're working with Commissioner Saltzman's office now and making sure that does happen. So thank you for bringing this to our attention.
Thank you very much. All right. Can you please read the next item?
893, request of Michael Callahan to address council regarding shelterless update.
Howdy, howdy, back again. Problem hasn't gone away. But I have a few observations on it. I've been traveling, just got back. I went to 6 countries. I've been in 38 countries now, okay? I have never seen any country with more people on the street than here. I haven't traveled the United States, but I'm pretty sure from what I hear, it's pretty similar all across the United States. I was in Djibouti, the 135th poorest country on earth, where 42% of the people make less than $2 a day. I did see homeless people there, not nearly as many as here. I was also in Jordan. I didn't see any homeless people in Jordan. I was also in Azerbaijan, Baku. I saw one homeless person twice in my week there, and I saw another homeless person once. 2 million people in Azerbaijan. Okay, well, now you should be somewhat familiar, if you've traveled at all internationally, that you take Mexico City, you take Rio, you take Mumbai. The way this happens in other cities is that they're allowed to squat. We're not allowed to squat. Okay, we're criminals here. I'm a criminal. Anybody can arrest me at any time because I sleep. Okay, that's illegal in this city. It's illegal to cook. I made you all well aware of this. Situation hasn't changed. People that are in this condition are being harassed every day as we speak. This is a significant problem, but I know it's not your bailiwick. You only have certain things. It's not your bailiwick. You only have certain things. It's not the mayor's bailiwick or Amanda's bailiwick. Nobody has this bailiwick, okay? But my thing for today is respect existence or expect resistance. Okay, I was in London and I watched London burn, okay? Now that happened because the people were very angry. By gosh, you know, the same kind of thing happened here. Same thing triggered it off. The police shot somebody, a black man. Okay? And they said the black man had a gun, but by gosh, it turned out that wasn't a black man had a gun, it was a police bullet. Okay, that's basically why the riots started, but the riots continued on because people are very, very frustrated. Very frustrated. Okay, they have housing there. We don't have housing here. You're sitting on a counter peg and nobody's doing anything. Okay? We have approximately 8,000 people that are sleeping outside every night. We need 80 places for 100 people to go. And as I have addressed this council for 3 years, we have no solutions. We have nobody is interested. You know, this is unfortunate, but you're off the hook. You know, Amanda's off the hook.
Your time's up.
I understand that.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I certainly, it's unfortunate that this council chooses to not respond. Thank you.
Your time is up. All right, can you please read the title for item number 894?
Request of Amy Nye to address council regarding support for 100 million withdrawals from the Chinese Communist Party.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, City Council member. My name is Amy Nye. I'm with Quit the Chinese Communist Party Service Center of Oregon. I'm here to tell you very important information. 100 million Chinese people have withdrawn from the Chinese Communist Party. It's a milestone in Chinese history. It reached 100 million as of this early August. Withdrawal from the Chinese Communist Party, this movement in Chinese is called the Tui Dang Movement. Tui Dang Movement began in year 2004 when Chinese version of the newspaper Epoch Times published a series of editorials called Nine Commentaries on Communist Party. So ever since then, Chinese people started to withdraw from the party because the editorials reveals the nature of the party. It reached 100 million. I think it's very great news. Tui Dang is the biggest movement of spiritual awakening happening for Chinese people in history. It has laid an essential foundation for greater openness and freedom by committing tens of millions of Chinese people to honesty, fairness, and compassion in their daily life. The Tui Dang movement is different from any of the Western democracy movement. It emphasizes on morality. The Nine Commentaries also calls for renewing morality, which has been destroyed by Chinese Communist Party. That's why people's statements of withdrawal tend to reflect their views on morality instead of politics. Here's an example. Mr. Li Fengzhi, he is a former intelligence officer for China's Ministry of State Security. He publicly announced his withdrawal from the Chinese Communist Party. He said, "Today I stand here with my back to the embassy that represents China. and solemnly declare that I'm severing all ties with the Chinese Communist Party. That is the conclusion I have come to after lengthy and serious consideration. And it is something from the bottom of my heart. As you may know, 80 million Chinese people have died from unnatural causes due to the action of the Chinese Communist Party in 60 years. And now Falun Gong people is the largest spiritual group being persecuted in China. It's still going on now. A Senate Resolution 232 was introduced on July this year, calls upon the Chinese Communist Party to immediately cease and desist from its campaign to persecute Falun Gong practitioners. The resolution also expressed support for volunteers and participants of the Tuidang movement. I hope Mayor and the City Council member and people of Portland will understand the significant meaning of Tuidang and support it by all the ways you can. Thank you.
Carly, can you please read item 895?
Request of Sam Sachs to address council to thank the mayor for walking with Connected, a gang outreach group that walks in Holiday Park every Friday.
Welcome. Glad you're here.
And John Kanda as well.
Fantastic. Mr. Kanda, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, Mayor and council members. My name is John Kanda, founder and co-chair of the group known as Connected. We formed on April 27th of this year after the brutal slaying of Shiloh Hampton at Holiday Park. And we have come together as concerned citizens to show the city of Portland and those people who pay attention to the things that we do that ordinary, average citizens with pure intentions and the right purpose can come together and have a real impact on crime and the fear of crime in our Portland neighborhoods. Originally, I made a call for 100 men to stand with me in the streets of Portland who are not afraid to speak with and have conversations with young people who are robbing, killing, stealing, selling drugs in our neighborhoods. The result of that, after a meeting at the North Precinct Community Policing Room, was an effort that began almost right away. That Friday was April 29th, and we made our first walk through Holiday Park. As you've seen by now, the data produced by the Portland Police Department on the crimes that happened this time last year in Holiday Park. From the center of the park, there was a red diagram that talked about the seriousness of the level of crime. That same report run this year shows a large green area and that speaks to the amount of crime and calls for service in that area have been significantly reduced. We cannot take all the credit for that. There are many community partners that work in that area, but it has made a difference. And we're hoping that this movement, this effort can be a model for the ways that citizens can get involved with local government. Sam?
I just want to follow up, Mayor, Commissioners, on what John said. I want to acknowledge our board member, Carl Goodman, as well. And like John said, we made a call for 100 men. We've had men and women since we started walking, rain or shine, every Friday. And after you walked with us, Mayor, we were really touched and moved that you took the time to come out and not just show up, but to actually walk and communicate with people and talk to people and talk to us. And the media was there and gave us an opportunity to share our story with them. We decided that we wanted to present you. Usually you have to walk three times before you can earn one of the shirts. But your presence was significant. We appreciate it. We wanted to thank you publicly for your walking with us. We hope you'll walk again. And we also want to invite the rest of the commissioners to come out. As John said, the statistics show crime is down 25% since we've been out there. So if I can approach, yeah, we'd like to give you the shirt. And thank you.
Well, as you're approaching, Mr. Kanda, I want to thank you for, as you've done a number of times over the years, taking the initiative, not waiting for someone else to do it, and getting this organized. And it has made a tangible difference. It isn't just a feel good because the numbers speak volumes. So thank you for that, and thank you both as well.
Thank you, sir.
John Moore.
Oh, wow. It even is signed.
It's signed by, cool. By all of us.
I'm going to take a picture. Got it.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, very much. Thank you.
Why don't you, in the microphone, give us the details of how one gets involved for the Friday walk.
It's very simple, Commissioner, and thank you for asking the question. We are simply asking people who have an interest. We all have Facebook pages. Connected has a Facebook page, so you can go to the search button on there and type in Connected, and it'll pop up and talk to you about all of our activities. But people show up at two times every Friday. 4:30 starts the first walking time, and they usually walk right up until about 7:30, 8 o'clock. Rob Richardson generally leads that group. I lead the group that begins at 8 o'clock, and we'll walk to 10, 10:30. It just depends on the activity in the park. So people can like our Facebook page and stay connected that way, or they can just meet us at the park and walk with us at any time.
So show up at the park.
Just show up at the park.
Those two times.
Mayor, if I could also just also acknowledge that there's really been a huge team working on this, and I'd be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that Art Hendricks, who is the head of security for the Parks Bureau, has made Holiday Park a priority. I got a briefing recently and got a 3-page memo, single-spaced, of community meetings, outreach to the BID, outreach to TriMet. We're very proud of what the chart you've described showing the decrease in particularly larceny crimes, but also other violent crimes, but larceny crimes in particular. And city can't do it alone. It has to be with these partnerships. It's a particularly difficult park because it is surrounded by a parking lot, a MAX station, a hotel, and a mall. And the mall is inwardly facing, not outwardly facing.
Yes.
And what we know about tackling, maintaining safety in parks is eyes and ears are really important. And when you don't have on the perimeter people looking in on the park, it makes our job harder.
Yes.
So Art and the Rangers and the whole team have been working hard, and that includes, at the mayor's request, some SEPTED work where we've changed the configuration of bushes and trees and things to have better sight lines. But we're not successful without the partners in the community. So I want to acknowledge everybody that's stepped up to make a difference.
Absolutely.
If I could just add that, thank you for bringing that up. Art has been out with us several times, so not just during work, but you know, outside in his personal life, he's been there as well, walking with us several times, and we appreciate that. And just a side note, we're as a board planning a function in the near future to thank everyone. We want to try and have something in the park to thank those people that have walked with us and encourage others to. So,
and at Art's request, by the way, the commissioner in charge of the bureau has twice anonymously gone and spent some time in the park at different times to get a sense of what's going on. So I just want to make a commitment to you that it's high on our list of priorities for people to have confidence in using that park. It's an important park. And obviously, we're sorry that the tragedy led us to this, but let's make something of it.
You are. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, that gets us to the consent agenda, and we have two items that have been pulled, 897 and 898. So any other items anyone wishes to pull from the consent agenda agenda? All right, please call the vote on the consent agenda.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We'll move to the regular agenda. Can you please read the title, Emergency Ordinance, item number 909.
Authorize one grievance settlement and two agreements with the Portland Police Association that amend the July 1, 2010 to June 30, 2013 labor agreement between the parties.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. Good morning.
Good looking at
commissioners, how are we doing today? I'm here to present this ordinance for one settlement, two settlements, and one grievance settlement. The first one is the on-call and on-call telephone calls. We've reached the agreements during negotiations, and so this is just a carryover.
Can you move the mic up just a little bit?
Oh, I guess I'm talking. We reached these agreements during negotiations, and so my job is coming forward with you. My previous manager, Steve Heron, was negotiating these union. He's no longer here. So I'm presenting for him, okay? Let's start with the on-call. The on-call and telephone calls, as written in the collective bargaining agreement, will be amended to allow the members to be compensated as outlined in the settlement agreement. You had an opportunity to read the settlement agreement, correct? Any questions regarding that one?
Any discussion or questions from council? All right.
Okay, I'll go to the next one. The holiday compensation. That was written in the agreement to mirror our overtime payout compensation. It was left out for some reason, and so what we want to do is make sure that it's put in the contract as agreed upon during bargaining.
Any discussion or comments from council? All right.
And the last one is on the grievance settlement for Sergeant Doug Tang. That was a part of the settlement agreement, the overall collective bargaining agreement, in which Sergeant Tang should have received overtime for overtime should have been available to him. That was not. It was given to other officers. And so we were, as a form of settlement, we entered into this agreement to resolve the additional grievance.
Any discussion about this element of the agenda item? All right. Does anyone wish to testify on emergency ordinance item number 909?
Wait, one person sign up. Dan Handelman.
Thank you, sir. If you'll take a seat, we're here from the public. Mr. Handelman, welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch, and I guess this ordinance is a little confusing. What I just heard sounded as though the labor agreement that got signed triggered these payments. But the way I read it, it sounded as though this ordinance is going to be modifying the agreement. So I guess I'll be a little careful about how I phrase this, but my main concern is it seemed to me that if that was the case, that this has to modify the agreement that Portland spent 4 months hammering out, and it cost the city $62,000. If I made a mistake that cost Portland Cop Watch $62,000, we wouldn't be able to operate for 12 years. So it's not a lot of money in the city in the big picture, but $62,000, because what seems to me was a disagreement about language in the contract. Now, that contract, I went to every public meeting, every hour, every minute of every public meeting, and then I read in the Portland Mercury that a lot of the negotiations were done outside of those public meetings. They were done over phone calls, over emails, and at meetings that the public wasn't invited to, after he made a big deal about having these public meetings. And then Human Resources Director Yvonne Deckard told the Portland Mercury, the public asked to see how the sausage was made on the public side. They didn't ask what some of the other ingredients were. I find that to be pretty cynical. You know, we wanted to see what was going on. This contract between the union and the city is one of the most important things as police accountability activists that we've run into over the years as a reason that the city can't do this, can't do that, can't have a full oversight system. So we attended every minute of those meetings with the interest of seeing what was going on. And then they got pulled behind closed doors. And then what I saw when the council finally passed the agreement was more like a grocery list. It just said, we're going to agree on this, 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 and this. And there was no specifics about what those things meant. And unless I'm reading this wrong, it seems like the fact that it was a grocery list and it wasn't very clear led to confusion that made this ordinance necessary.
Dan, I have a question, because the public record contains both financial impact statements, the agreements, and the language. So there's backup material. And you've raised a concern about the process of bargaining. But do you have a concern substantively with the matters that are before us today, the actual recommended outcomes on the matters?
We support the right of people to collectively bargain for their rights. And I think that if the agreement with this collective bargaining unit is that these people need to be compensated for the time that they've spent doing things, I think that's okay. We're not going to argue with that. But I think the process is just as important, and I think that—
I understand, you made your point on the process, but what we're voting on is a specific matter of incorporating agreed-upon changes into the agreement, and you do not have an objection to those changes?
Not specifically, no.
Thank you.
All right, anyone else wish to testify on 909? All right, can you please call the vote?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 909 is approved. I would just note for the record that from my view, had a lot of help from a lot of people, this particular labor agreement with Portland Police Association contains some of the most significant reforms in the way that the police bureau is able to do its business, I would say, in a generation. So I wanted that to be part of the record. That gets us to, can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 910?
Authorize a grant to Police Activities League of Greater Portland of $30,000 to support the National Youth Sports Program Camp.
Commissioner Dan Saltzman.
Well, certainly consistent with today's theme of youth and police and interactions. We're pleased to, I'm pleased the City Council has agreed to award in its budget process $30,000 to the Police Activities League of Greater Portland, PAL, otherwise known as PAL. PAL has offered a summer sports camp based on the National Youth Sports Program to underserved and at-risk youth in Portland since 1992. The program uses sport instruction and competition as a vehicle to enhance self-esteem and to reinforce the importance of education and to promote active, healthy lifestyles. All federal funding for the National Youth Sports Program was cut in 2005, causing the program to shrink from 250 sites nationwide to only 7 sites today. This last year, Portland being one of the sites, we had 361 youth participate in PAL's summer program. So the ordinance before us today does authorize a grant that was approved during the budget process of $30,000 to help PAL with their National Youth Sports Program. I urge adoption.
Any discussion with council? Anyone wish to testify on this matter? Carla, can you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
I particularly appreciate the documentation in the ordinance that this is serving folks in communities of color and those on free school lunches, particularly those who go to Portland area high schools. And I appreciate Commissioner Saltzman bringing this forward. This was an item that I helped get into the budget the year before the last, and I'm glad to see the special appropriation continuing. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. Now we have two items that have been pulled from the consent agenda. Can you please read the title for 897?
Revise ordinance on illegal gun use and violent gang activity to correct East Hotspot designation.
Mr. Handelman, do you want to come forward and tell us why you pulled it? So we do this as expeditiously as possible.
Good morning again, mayors and commissioners. I'm Dan Handelman, still with Portland Cop Watch. I pulled this partly because of the substance of it, which is that, again, people spend a lot of time poring over documents and trying to be very specific, and yet somehow this illegal gun hotspot extended 2 blocks into Gresham and nobody noticed it until now. So it's just another one of these process issues where we're trying to do good things and yet things get rushed through with mistakes in them. I also missed the opportunity to testify when the illegal gun ordinance committee spoke a few weeks ago because it wasn't, I didn't notice it on the council agenda. And I read the substance of that report that said that there is no discrimination in the illegal gun ordinance. And yet, only three out of the 13 people who've been excluded so far are white. So that's 23% in a city that's 75% white. I'm not necessarily saying that that makes it discriminatory, but it does raise a few eyebrows. This is very similar to some of the other ordinances we had in the past, in fact, like the drug-free zones and everything, all the other statistics that show African Americans are disproportionately affected by laws and policies like this, and I see the mayor shaking his head at me, but it's true. We got the majority of the people who are excluded from the zone are African-American. I can read the statistics. And then beyond that, the question comes up of how is this being enforced? Are the officers going up to every person in the zone that they think might have a probation for an illegal gun and asking them if they have the right to be there, which then makes this into another pretext law like CITLI and so many other laws and policies the city has. So those are the issues that I pulled this about.
Thank you for your testimony. Does anyone else wish to testify? All right, Carla, can you please call the vote?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
I guess my thought is I'm glad that we spotted the error and are correcting it. And also, you might want to watch the tape of the hearing when we had the report from the Citizen Committee, which is just forming, because we did have a discussion about profiling and what the statistics do or don't show. So it's certainly something this council shares your concern about, Dan, and we will continue to work on it. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
A significant number of African-American Portlanders are the victims of murder by gun in this city. A significant number of African-American Portlanders are being murdered by African-American Portlanders. And there is a racial aspect to the illegal use of guns in this city. It is awful, tragic, and we are trying to intercede and stop the killing and stop the injuries. Unlike previous efforts, this city council approved that oversight group to ask these tough questions. And we want to be fair, and we want to be balanced. And we want to save lives. That's what this is about. I'm glad as well that when we find a small mistake like this, we bring it forward and correct it and pretend like it doesn't exist. So thank you for doing that. Aye. So approved. Let's see. What's next?
898.
898.
898, authorize an agreement and memorandum of understanding with the Department of Treasury, Internal Revenue Service, Criminal Investigation to allow for reimbursement of city expenses.
Who pulled this? Coming up.
Good morning once again, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm still Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. I pulled this item as I pulled the Joint Terrorism Task Force agreement in the year 2000 when it was put on the consent agenda, because this is an agreement between the Portland Police Bureau and the federal government that has questionable aspects to it, and it should not have been put on the consent agenda. And it's quite disturbing to me that after 11 years of debate about the Joint Terrorism Task Force and how police officers interact with federal government, that Chief Reese's public involvement section of this says this is a routine and non-controversial item that should not require public involvement. He checked the no box on it. I know he's been in this city for the last 11 years, and I don't understand how all the debate about the Joint Terrorism Task Force did not lead him to think that this was worthy of being put on the regular agenda, and that none of your offices caught that or put it on the regular agenda. Now, the good thing about this agreement is it does, in fact, invoke the two sections of Oregon law that people have been concerned about with regard to the Joint Terrorism Task Force and political spying, ORS 181.575 and .850. But it does not talk specifically anywhere about ballot measures 3 and 53, which have to do with Oregon state law and asset forfeitures. And while it talks about Oregon law and federal law, I think that it's confusing that their mission is to develop criminal investigations and forfeit assets with ties to illegal activities, which is just as vague language as the criminal nexus language we ended up with in the Joint Terrorism Task Force resolution. Doesn't explain what kind of criminal activities we're talking about, and then says that they will decide whether to prosecute these cases in state or federal court. So in other words, if there are cases that might violate Oregon law, it sounds like they'll just decide to make a federal case of it, literally. So it's very confusing to me as a member of Portland Cop Watch who follows this kind of thing very closely. There's also nothing, there's, you know, and just in terms of the process again, we're supposed to be a city that believes in community policing, and the idea that the chief, again, thinks that we should just enter into an agreement where we're assigning police officers to help the IRS, which according to this document doesn't have the resources to investigate these crimes, and it doesn't, again, doesn't specify the crimes. It mentions one place about violations of the tax code, but it doesn't say that that's necessarily the only kinds of crimes they're going to investigate. Just because the IRS doesn't have the manpower, person power to do it, does that mean the city of Portland has that person power? Is that our high priority as a community? We haven't had this discussion. That's why I pulled this off the consent agenda.
Thank you, sir. Does anyone else wish to testify on this matter?
May I ask a question, Mayor?
Sure.
Is this a new assignment of officers to this task force?
No.
How long have we been assigning officers to this task force?
Come on up, sir. And why he's coming up, we have to follow state and federal law as we do the work here. So that's very clearly part of this, including the ballot measures, the laws that the ballot measures that became laws as well.
Mr. Mayor, Council, my name is Jeff Karen. I'm a lieutenant with the Portland Police Bureau, and I'm currently sitting in for Commander Ed Brumfield. We've been a part of this organization for a couple years, at least, to my knowledge. These are the type of cases that the IRS just doesn't have the capability to work because they don't meet a high enough threshold for them to work these cases and invest resources. We have one dedicated detective that works in conjunction with the IRS on these cases at no additional cost. This is a person that is taken out of our own approved budget. So we're just reassigning one person to work these cases. An example of some of the cases that we work, we actually have a deceitful mortgage rescue scam that has been going on. And this particular scam has actually targeted the elderly and have left some people homeless in our community. We specifically work the cases that affect the citizens of Portland and the livability here, the fear of crime. We do not work cases in Washington State. We do not work cases in California. We work cases within the Portland metropolitan area that has a direct effect on our livability. We also have work cases that we have an instance where a gentleman was actually forced or evicted from California, if you will, in a business, and he reestablished that business here in Portland and started victimizing our citizens. These are the type of cases that we're looking at. There is no cost to us. We're actually, when we talk about participating in asset forfeiture, the IRS is actually seizing the assets. We just get if we're involved in the investigation, we just get a small return, a small percentage of that asset forfeiture. So in that regards, we actually actively investigate crimes that affect the citizens of Portland.
Thank you. That's very helpful. My understanding of this ordinance is that it allows for reimbursement of city expenses.
Yes, it does.
Is this a new agreement that we're now getting some money for the work that the officer is doing?
No, this is an ongoing agreement. We get, I think it's up to
$5,000.
Yes, and we also, in order to receive some of the asset forfeiture funds, we do have to have an active agreement.
So it's continuing the previous agreement?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Unless there's additional discussion, Carla, can you please call the vote?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
So I just need to take a moment to commend Chief Reese for his and his staff filling out the public involvement statement that is now required, because I think it is exemplary and explains why this is, in fact, a routine continuation. So even though we're getting out of here, I just want to read this paragraph for the general public so you better understand. As a matter of course, the Police Bureau would normally conduct criminal investigation on the type of cases pursued by the Oregon and Southwest Washington Financial Crimes Task Force. Participation in the task force provides a force and resource multiplier, which is of great benefit to the city and the community served by the Bureau. Bureau personnel assigned to the task force remain under the supervision of the Portland Police Bureau. When statutory, constitutional, or decisional law of Oregon restricts investigative methods more than federal law, the investigative methods employed by Portland police officers working with the IRS shall conform to the requirements of Oregon law. Portland police officers may not take action or exercise authority under the agreement if the action or exercise of authority is prohibited by Oregon law. For these reasons, the Bureau deems this a routine and non-controversial item that would not require public involvement. That was why my staff and I did not pull this item, and I appreciate the discussion. It's clear to me that this is indeed a routine item, and I appreciate the work that the Bureau is doing. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Well, this gives us an opportunity to show off the great work that you do and your team do, and also to thank you. These kinds of crime, the best way to prevent these kinds of crimes is to solve the last ones. And so you're helping to do that in our partnership with the IRS and the federal government. Thank you. Aye. So approved, and I think that means we're adjourned.
Sam and Amanda, thanks for coming out tomorrow to Park Lane. We have it scheduled, I guess.